This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a good day to talk to my next guest. He joins me each and every week at this time. And you can find him on pregame.com. He's one of the top handicappers in the world. Top handicappers you're going to find anywhere. This guy's name's on that list. Two-time Super Contest winner at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. Steve Fezzik joining me for his weekly visit. Fez, how bad is it out in Vegas for some of these sports books with Tiger Woods winning today?
Oh, I think it's really, really bad. So the number one golfer that everyone bets on, even when he's terrible, is Tiger Woods, and it's been a cash cow in for the books, frankly, for the past 10 years. But they gave a lot of it back today, a whole lot of money on Tiger Woods' multi-million dollar liability, and it's paying for the players.
Okay, then I'm glad you brought that up, because we read these articles, you know, like, oh, sports books take a bath, and this is the worst weekend ever for golf. And look, I mean, if you... Nobody's shedding any tears over these sports books losing, I hope. But I'm glad you brought up the context of the several hundred weeks before this, where these places were getting essentially free money from bettors. Can you go into that just a little bit more, Steve, as to what Tiger Woods has meant to the sports books, not this weekend, but the many, many months and years worth of weekends where he's been out on the course at a fraction of what he used to be?
Yeah, so Tiger Woods is the gold standard of golfers. He's basically the Lakers in their heyday. He's the Bulls in their heyday. He is the golfer that everyone bets on. If you know nothing and you want some action, you're going to bet on Tiger Woods. So he won his last major prior to today back in 2008. And pretty much each and every major that he's played in, money has come in on him just because of the brand name and the name recognition, and the books have cleaned up, and the books have consistently offered Tiger. Now, initially they offered him at like 4-1, and then when he was struggling, it became 6-1. In his heyday, when he was great, it was more a Tiger versus the field line, where the field would be favored, but not by that much. But by like 2000 and frankly 15, it was completely dead money on Tiger. So the books would offer up Tiger at 20-1 and just laugh all the way to the bank at the suckers that were betting on Tiger to win when he really should have been more like 100-1.
Okay, but, finish up, Steve. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so there's three more majors left. What does this win today do to the dynamic on the next three majors this year?
So it probably takes all the value on Tiger off the table, because Tiger opened up at 14-1, and there were some big bets on him. One gentleman bet $85,000 on Tiger at 14-1 to win $1.2 million, closed at 12-1. The books are saying no more of that. The first opener that I see, Tiger Woods to win the PGA, 8-1. So they shed his odds from 12-1 down to 8-1. Let's face it, I think that you could make a case for any of the top eight golfers in the world. And if you bet on, let's say, the top nine golfers, and if you bet them all at 8-1, if one of them wins, you break even. If none of them win, you lose everything. That dastardly bookie, Sean, he takes a whole lot of vigorish in his futures markets.
You mentioned, Fez, the height of peak Tiger on the course, that it was, you know, it was like a coin flip between Tiger and the field a lot of times in these majors. And obviously some of that is because he is so public. Like you said, he is the Lakers, he's the Cowboys, he's whatever sports comparison you want to make or team sport comparison you want to make. But just your gut, like, what's the ceiling now for this iteration of Tiger in terms of how he gets stacked up amongst his peers? Is he now just going to be in the mix with all the Kepkas and the Dustin Johnsons of the world, or can the dynamic of the betting community maybe drive him even higher up?
Well, he probably should be evenly lined with the Kepkas, with the Rorys, with the best golfers in the world, and not certainly better. But the books learned their lesson today, and the books said, basically, I'm going to have to meet with my boss tomorrow and explain this enormous loss, and my boss is going to ask, well, what are you going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again? And they're going to respond, I made Tiger Woods 8-1, and I made all these other guys that are every bit as good as him 12-1. Now, I do want to say that you could make a case for Tiger being the best golfer in the world right now, Sean, and here's the case. If you went back to the last two majors of 2018, so you looked at the PGA and the British Open, and you just took the scores of every golfer in the world from those two majors and then added the scores from this major, well, Tiger Woods is clearly, he has the best cumulative score of those 12 rounds. But now here's the surprising fact going into this tournament, just in those eight rounds, the end of 2018, Tiger Woods had the best eight rounds at the end of 2018 in those eight rounds for those two majors that he did not win.
Yeah, and then he won that tournament that, you know, that wasn't a major, and he's been playing good golf. There's no question about it. Steve Fezzik joining me for his weekly visit here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Fez, we are six games into the first round of the NBA playoffs. We've got two more left tonight. Three dogs getting there outright yesterday. What's the early playoff trends that people should be keeping an eye on, both in general and from what you've seen so far this weekend?
Well, the under is 6-0 in the first six playoff games. And this one kind of makes sense to me, Sean, because anyone who's been trying to make money betting unders in NBA games has gotten their teeth kicked in and has basically given up of late. But the long term, historically, the first game of the NBA playoffs tends to be, when the playoffs start, a good time to play unders, because playoff basketball, the refs swallow their whistles a little bit more, let them play a little bit more, and frankly, the game's meaning more sometimes means a slowdown in pace, and the starters play more minutes, and oftentimes they get a little bit more tired and don't play at the same pace. So I think, I don't know if it's going to necessarily help us to recognize, oh, we had all these unders, and now we're going to get lower totals dealt, but something to put on your calendar. Hey, next year when the playoffs start, look to play unders, game one, not overs.
Are there any of these underdogs that won outright yesterday, Fez, that you look at and go, these guys got a chance to win the series?
I think the Spurs. I picked the Spurs to beat Denver right off the bat, and my handicap's pretty simplistic. I don't like altitude teams in the playoffs, Sean. I don't like Utah, and I don't like Denver, and here's why. I feel like during the course of the season, there's so many times that, like, the best situation of the year favors these two teams, because whenever an NBA team has a back-to-back going into Utah, going into Denver, and sometimes they're going in from the other altitude city, it's so easy for the NBA team to say, you know what, I'm going to rest my starters here. This is a really, really tough spot and an obvious tough spot. So what happens? Oh, Utah wins by 18, Denver wins by 20, and it all goes into their year-long stats. So both those teams invariably look better in the stats than what I truly feel that they are. And then come playoff time, when the teams don't take any games off, all of a sudden those teams more often than not don't do as well as we thought they would do.
Well, and Fez, and look, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know the total effects of altitude, even though I lived in Denver for 3 years. But I would think that advantage is also mitigated come postseason time, because you've got the same travel schedule as your opponent. You're going back and forth in and out of the altitude along with your opponent, no?
Yeah, I agree. And so what happens, obviously, it should be a lot easier to stay and play a game in Denver and then have a day off and then play another game in Denver in terms of how you can prepare for the altitude and the conditioning versus just having to go in there completely cold from another city from sea level. And I think you bring it up also that Denver, when they'll play two games in Oklahoma City and then they're going back to Denver, and they'll have been away from their altitude for almost a week when those two teams play game five.
Fez, do you see any value in any of the teams when it comes to winning the NBA title this year? The Warriors are like, I mean, they're like Tiger Woods back in the day. You know, they're a favorite versus the field. Is there any value in any of these teams, or is this just Golden State's world and we're all living in it right now?
I think let's go back to that concept of the field. We talked about Tiger versus in the field in his heyday. Now it's Golden State versus the field. I think there's value taking the field. There's a prop bet. Will Golden State win the championship? Golden State's a 2-1 favorite. Risk $2 to make $1. Or you can bet $1 on the field and get back an attractive plus 175 I like that because while I'm not sure who's going to beat Golden State, I do think Houston, when they likely face them in the second round, has a puncher's chance, matches up well with Golden State. Frankly, I think would have beaten Golden State last year with Chris Paul. And I still think Milwaukee can give Golden State a whole lot of trouble in the finals. And either Toronto or Milwaukee will have home court advantage. And I do think that Toronto will go ahead and fix their deficiencies that they had game one. I think that they're going to be fine. I think the 76ers are likely to advance. I do think that it's Denver against San Antonio is the one high seed team that likely could be in trouble.
Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, joining me for his weekly visit here on CBS Sports Radio. Fez, I want to talk for a minute about one of the teams that's not in the playoffs, and that's the Los Angeles Lakers. It's just been, you know, tumult around that team since the season ended. Magic Johnson leaving, although that might be a good thing in the grand scheme of things for the Lakers. And I guess that's kind of where I'm going with this. We know that there's work to be done in free agency with the Lakers. They're going to have room to go sign somebody if somebody wants to come play there. What do you suspect the odds makers are going to, how do you think they're going to assess the Lakers heading into next year? If you had to right now come up with a season win total and, you know, just where they're sort of going to be forecast in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it's certainly difficult because Magic leaving, if anyone had insider information about how the Lakers should do next year, it should have been him. And the fact that he's bailing, not having any fun, that's a negative, but it might be a positive that you've got someone that wants to have a lot of fun, no longer being the president of operations. Let's get someone who doesn't care about having fun and wants to work. Season win number for the Lakers in context. This year, 48 wins. They only win 37. The year before, they won 35. Now, every team LeBron has ever joined usually bumps by 12 to 15 wins. So that 35-win core group should have gone up to 49 or 50 wins. However, the chemistry, all these players feel like they're the replacements, the expendables. And I don't think you can trade Ingram with the blood clot issues. I don't think you can trade Ball with some of his injury issues. This is a real mess right now. So if I'd set an over-under for season wins, Sean, put me to the test here. Let's go 44 for the Lakers. Would you go over or under?
I would go – I'm going to stay under. I just think that – I think it's a mess. I don't know that LeBron's going to be able to get another star player to come play with him out there, Fez, if you want to know the truth. Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports and pregame.com is where you can find all of his great work. Would you go over or under that number, Fez, real quick?
You know, it all depends whether they can get a Kyrie Irving or a second free agent. Then the over obviously becomes attractive, if not clearly the under. So I did a hybrid number. A great prop bet, Sean. Who wins more games next year, Clippers or Lakers? Sounds like you like the clip joint, right?
Yeah, clip joint. I respect what the clip joint's not. And I think they might wind up with Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers, if you want to know the truth. Steve Fezzik joining us each week at this time. Fez, great stuff as always. Go enjoy the games.
Clippers 500-1 to win the title. It won't be this year. Take
no.
care, Sean.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.